And so we shall begin. Thought for today. Smiling is infectious. Smiling is infectious. Smiling is infectious. When someone smiled at me today, I started smiling too. I walked around a corner. Someone saw my grin. When he smiled, I realized I'd passed it on to him. I thought about my smile, and I know what it is worth. My single smile travels round the earth. Each time I feel a smile begin, I make it most effective. I start a smile epidemic quick and get the world infected. The one that John had given me was good too, but it had a few negative references in it, and I left it out. So, here we're saying, smiling is infectious. When someone smiled at me today, I started smiling too. I walked around a corner, someone saw my grin. When he smiled, I realized I'd passed it on to him. I thought about my smile, and I know what it is worth. My single smile travels around the earth. Each time I feel a smile begin, I make it most effective. I start a smile epidemic quick and get the world infected. It's good. It's good. It makes us think. It makes us consider a smile. Now, what was the purpose of this little piece of rhetoric here? What is the purpose of it? It says, smiling is infectious. Smiling is infectious. And smiling makes us feel very, very happy. It makes us feel very, very bright. It makes us feel very, very good. Why does smiling make us feel good? There's nothing about a smile that should make you feel good. It's just the movement of a face with the cheeks going up and pulling the lips up a little bit on the side and a twinkle in the eyes. What is a smile? A smile is just a silly look on your face. You know? A smile is nothing. It's nothing at all. Yet a smile is everything. Why is a smile everything? Why, when you have a look on your face, or they have all these different looks on your face, and they're infectious too, let me tell you. A frown on your face is infectious. A feeling of anger on your face, people can tell, it's infectious. You can't hide when you're angry. When you are being snotty or being unkind, it just shines out of you like a great beacon. And when you're smiling, that too shines out of you like a great beacon. So what we want to do, we want to crank up our smiles under all circumstances. Have our smiles blossom out from us under all circumstances. We want our smiles to be our umbrella. Our smile to be that which gathers to us all joy. Our smile to be that which is protecting us from inclement weather. Did you ever run outside when the rain is just beginning to fall and you got a big smile on your face? Ooh, I love this. I saw a picture of some people on a desert island, and they hadn't had any water for quite a while. And the rain started coming down. And they went outside like little children. They lifted their heads to the sky, stuck out their tongue to catch each little raindrop. A very inefficient way to drink water, but a very efficient way of showing your delight in the rain. We want to show our delight in life, our delight in everything. We want to be infectious with our delight, and our smile makes us infectious with our delight. We want to be so happy, be so filled with joy, be so filled with harmony and peace and love that we are at all times infectious, because we are infectious. When a person walks by you, what do they see? Every time they walk by Sylvia, they say, my God, why is she always so happy? Why has she always got a smile on her face? When they go by Ellen, they say, my goodness, listen to that bubble. I want to take a pin and poke it in that bubble. But I just know that if I poked it in that bubble, there'd be a million more bubbles that'd pop out. Because it doesn't bother her that somebody pokes her bubble. Because she's loaded with bubbles. And John, when he smiles, he gets all his teeth out there, and like a Kennedy, you know, shining all his teeth out there, big, bright, beautiful. And all the world says, hey, he must be happy. John, what are you happy about? And John says, I'm happy because I'm me. Well, can I be you? No, you can be yourself, and you can be happy being yourself. And Ingeborg, what does she do? Whenever Ingeborg has a smile on her face, it's just like the sun is out there shining its brightest. Right, Ingeborg? And Ingeborg loves to be the sunshine. She loves to be the bright light that's shining out and giving happiness to everybody. And you were looking at Button this morning. And Button was lying on his back, sort of wiggling back and forth, you know, giving himself a back rub, because we don't rub him enough, I guess. And he had his paws up in the air, and he just took his head, and he just snuggled it around in the carpet. He's saying, this is so good. This is what life's all about. This is what I'm here for, is to snuggle on my back on the rug here and feel so good. And you and I, as we looked at him, enjoying that little snuggle ruggle, we thought to ourselves, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what life's all about? And when John got up here with his monkey friend, and his monkey and he had a conversation over AirSat's radio station, it was quite interesting. Because John would get so involved with the monkey's attitude that he'd sometimes forget his own. And then John would get involved in his attitude and he'd forget the monkey's attitude. And the monkey had to remind him, hey, John, you know, you play your part, I'll play my part. And this is where we get in trouble sometimes in life. We forget what role we're playing. If we could always have a clear idea of the role we're playing, life would be so much fun. And it'd be so much fun not because of the role or not because against the role, but because we're being ourselves. We're being ourselves and having fun. Have you ever gone to school in any of your life? Ingeborg, have you ever gone to school? Have you ever been in elementary school? Were there some kids in elementary school that were always happy?
Yeah.
And not too many, but there were some kids that were always happy. You talk to them, life is always a ball for them. They did their schoolwork. They weren't the top of the class. They were always there wherever there was a party, wherever there was telling jokes, or wherever there was fun stuff. They were there. Now, why were they there? Why weren't they the top kids in the class? Why were they just enjoying themselves and doing things nicely? Why were they there? For the reason? Because they were well-rounded. They were not so stickler for the books. Not that the books shouldn't be read, but they studied them. They got good grades. But they weren't there to get high grades. High grades just said to the world, oh, what a brilliant student that is. And it merely might mean a student that worked very hard. Some students it comes real easy for. But the student who is happy all the time, the student who is content, the student who never feels the world is picking on them, but just finds joy everywhere, that student what? Is happy. That student is not trying to prove itself or himself or herself to the world. That student is just being themselves and having fun. That student is learning and saying, hey, this is interesting stuff, this is a lot of fun. And that student is the student who reads the dictionary like I teach you to read the dictionary. You open the dictionary to look up a word, and then you see another word above it, another word below it, and you say, oh, those are interesting words too. Oh, yeah, they come out of that same root derivation. That's interesting. Oh, I had never heard of that word before. I wonder what it says. Oh, it says this. Well, I don't understand that. So then you got to go to another part in the dictionary to understand a word that's below the word that you were trying to understand in the first place. And then pretty soon you're off into another thing. And, you know, an hour can go by. and you're having a ball. I have a ball. I happened to have one teacher one time in school, elementary school, and she said something to me that just turned me on. She said, the dictionary is the dullest book in the whole world, and yet the dictionary is the most exciting book in the whole world. Because with the dictionary, we can make the dull things exciting. Because the dictionary helps us to understand what's going on. And then, another day, she made another comment. She said, when you read the dictionary, when you're looking up a word, always look up the words on top and below of it, because that gives you some new words that you had never dreamed of having. And then when the dictionary calls for a definition of the word that you're looking up, where you should look up further, for instance, happiness means laughter, joy, harmony. Look up laughter, joy, and harmony. It might surprise you what laughter, joy, and harmony mean. You know what laughter, what happiness means. You know, happiness is what you are. But you look up those other words and you say, wow, how neat. And then you go around expounding these new words that you picked up. And nobody, including the teacher, has ever heard of them because they didn't really look at the words above and below the words in the dictionary. You know, a lot of you give me a very hard time. You come from New Zealand with your New Zealand dialect and your New Zealand vocabulary. You come from Switzerland with your Swiss vocabulary. You come from Germany with your German vocabulary. You come from the Italian part of Switzerland with your Italian vocabulary. And then you start using your American words. And you start using your words that you have looked up in the dictionary, and you're using the third or fourth or fifth definition of the word, and you say that to me, and I think to myself, there's something true about this, but there's something I don't understand. So I look it up in the dictionary. Ah, my goodness, they're using the third and fourth definition that I had not even begun to start using. First, second, and third was enough. But to use the definitions that go beyond that, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. But when you do that, it's infectious. When you have fun with your dictionary, when you have fun with your life, it's infectious. When you're smiling, it's infectious. It's so wonderful because when you're smiling, what are you doing? You're causing the glands of your body to function harmoniously. You're causing the glands of your body to function harmoniously. And when the glands of your body function harmoniously, what is that all about? John tells us a story this morning of an idea whose time has come. Now, he tells a story of the monkeys on an island who were washing their food. One monkey went down to the ocean or to the stream and washed off the sand from his food. I hadn't heard the sand bit. That's very good. But he washed off his food, dirt, sand, whatever, diamonds, you know, gold and stuff like that. He just wanted to get down to the fruit. And then he sat there eating it, enjoying it, and the other monkeys saw him do this. And you know the old saying, monkey see, monkey do? Well, the other monkeys on the island saw what this monkey was doing, and they did it. Then, after this monkey had done it, perhaps, for a period of time, and then the other monkeys on the island, in the universal consciousness of monkeyism, all the monkeys in the world began washing their food. You see, when an idea whose time has come comes, then all the world participates in it. How many times have we read that somebody discovered the light bulb, and then at the same moment it was discovered in many other countries? Somebody discovered the automotive engine, and an effective automotive engine. Someone discovered an airplane. Someone discovered gasoline. Someone discovered gunpowder. You see, and some reason or other, once it's discovered, once someone claims this something that is very unique and very different, something that nobody's ever dreamed about before, theoretically, and begins to put it in motion, That act of putting it in motion stimulates it throughout the world. It stimulates it throughout the world. And throughout the world, people start having light bulbs. People start having electricity. All because somebody somewhere put the thought into motion and developed it as a usable thing. Now you say, well, there was communication for that. Yeah, not really. The communication of that light bulb was in universal consciousness. And the communication of that light bulb was infectious. Infectious in the universal consciousness. The wheel was infectious in universal consciousness. Someone didn't discover the wheel in 1,000 different places on Earth. Someone discovered the wheel in one place. And then the idea was born in universal consciousness, so it was there. Now, let there be peace on Earth, and let it begin with me. Well, as long as we let there be peace on Earth, we're not really expecting it. But when we say, there now is peace on Earth, and it began with me, what we're saying is, we are that first idea, that infectious idea that is put to work. And throughout the universe, there is peace when we claim peace on Earth in us. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Okay. People are looking for AIDS cure, for remedy for AIDS. And they're not finding it. They're having such a difficulty because they're looking for a cure for AIDS. Now, all one person has to do is say, I have a cure for AIDS. And it'll be there. There now is peace on Earth, and it began with me. Am I out there stimulating peace on Earth? Am I out there causing peace to be on Earth? Just consciousness. All you have to do is say, I have an AIDS cure right now. And it is done, if that is your choice. And a lot of these researchers and doctors who are working on this stuff, that you think that's their choice. But what do they say? No, I haven't found the cure yet. No, I haven't found the cure yet. I'm working on it. I have some beautiful possibilities, but I haven't found it yet. Well, shut your mouth. Go around with a big smile on your face and people will think you found it. Yeah. You go to see this scientist who's working on a cure for AIDS, and he walks out of his laboratory. He's got a big smile on his face. You say, well, Henry, what's that big smile for? Henry says, I'm just happy. Well, now, come on, Henry. You look like the cat that just ate the canary. Tell us, what is that big smile about? No, I'll tell you when I'm ready. But I just feel so good. And so everybody in the office is smiling. Henry is smiling. Something good must be happening. So everybody's thinking good for Henry. Now, if Henry is a strong, powerful person, he'll say, I have an idea for the cure of AIDS. And I'm spreading it around the world through consciousness. Uh-oh, Henry's gone off the deep end. Henry is no longer with us. What are we going to do? So, you see, shut up. When you have a dream, when you have an idea whose time has come, let it come. Let the light bulb be out there. They still scoffed at Edison when he had the light bulb out there. And then he said, I'm going to light up the city. And so he put the light bulb on different posts throughout the city. And then he turned on the electricity. Everybody, ooh, ah, how long will it last? People just want to tear things down because they are incredulous about it. They just cannot believe it. And when they cannot believe it, what happens? Well, what happens when they cannot believe it is they tear it down. And when they tear it down, what happens? It doesn't take place. There was a fellow who developed a car. The name is on the tip of my tongue. And he developed it back in the 50s. It was a bullet nose car, like the Studebaker then. And he had it on display in Milwaukee in a show window. Really a terrific car. It had all of the things that you'd ever wish to have in a car. Wonderful things. And it flopped. Now, why did it flop? Because he didn't have the dream complete. He had the dream of the car, he had the manufacture of the car, he had everything, but he didn't have, Ellen, what didn't he have? Quickly.
Enthusiasm.
He didn't have a marketing program.
Oh, okay.
He didn't have a marketing program. He was giving it away here and giving it away there, and that's not the way to do it. He didn't have a marketing program. And because he didn't have a marketing program, the car didn't make it. Now, Ford allowed his son Edsel to create a car called the Edsel, and it was quite a nice car, but it didn't make it. Why didn't the Edsel make it? Because different people were saying, it's not a good-looking car, it's not a nice car, it's not this. If Edsel had realized marketing techniques, he would have come out on the market before the car came out. He would have had it underneath a drape, and he would have said, the greatest car of the century is about to be announced. The greatest, most beautiful car that the world has ever seen is about to be unveiled. Be sure to be at the unveiling at your local Ford dealer on May 17th. And everybody's going to try to sneak a peek at it. They're going to try to take a look at it. And some will see it, but they won't realize what they're seeing. Name it and claim it. Then, when Edsel pulled the cover off his car, the world would have gone, ooh, they could hate it. But it's the king's clothing. You don't knock the king's clothing, because if the king has his suit on, the king's most beautiful suit, and he's standing there naked, you don't say a thing. You say the king's clothes are beautiful. And the same with a presentation of a secret. The world's most beautiful car, the world's most glorious car, the world's biggest fun-filled car. It will take you everywhere. You'll feel glorious inside. Everyone's going to want to have it. All the other cars are going to copy the Edsel, because the Edsel is on the very edge of the newest car available. What would happen? The car would have been a super success. But because a few people said no, because perhaps Edsel had said, as he was designing it, he had a few troubles here and there. Shut up. Say it's great, 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 great. And people will buy it. Like, build the ballpark, remember, and the people will come. You have confidence in it. Don't tell other people what you're doing. Go and do it. And people will buy it if you like it. But if you have doubt, oh, I hope they like my Edsel. Oh, if I can sell my Edsel, my daddy will think I'm a nice guy, and then I'll make a name for myself and the family. He made a name for himself, you know. And he wasn't a bad guy. He just didn't know how to market it. And he probably was given advice on marketing it, and he didn't follow it. Because Ford had some pretty good marketing techniques going on there. You, when you have an idea whose time has come, don't spread it out. Make it secretive. Make it something alluring. Make it, sell it before they see it. You understand? Sell it before they see it. People don't need to look at my books to buy them. What we want to do is sell the concept of the book. What is the art and science doing? What is Song of the Spirit doing? What is the gift from self to self doing? What's the illumination doing? What is the content? What is the purpose of the book? Sell the purpose. Sell the dream. People will buy. But if you just sell the book and say it's a nice book, it's good, it's this, that, and the other, people won't buy. Put on the cover of A Gift from Self to Self a beautiful naked woman looking up at the stars saying, all mine, you know? And people will say, wow, what must that book be about? Sex, maybe, or desire, maybe, or wisdom, or power, you know? Sell an idea. Don't try to sell the appearance. A book is a book is a book. A car is a car is a car. Mr. Edsel, if he had had the encouragement of his father, instead of his father saying, you never do anything right. You never make anything right. Everything you make goes to Papa. Well, Papa, let me make the Edsel. I believe in that car. I believe in that design. Let me do it. All right, you do it just once. If it fails, your name is Mud. Well, it failed and his name was Mud. Now, Edsel could have gone to the Madison Avenue marketing people. He could have gone to the Schlucky Ducky marketing people, the people who really know what marketing is all about, because they sell refrigerators to Eskimos, you remember? And Eskimos need refrigerators. They don't want everything in the deep freeze all the time. They want things to be kept edible. When you have an idea whose time has come, and you want to sell it, just because its time has come doesn't mean you're going to sell it. If you don't make your marketing your primary thing, somebody else will. Somebody else will. At the same time that Edison developed his light bulb in America, there was a man in England, a man in France, and a man in Germany who developed a light bulb at the same time, who developed just a little differently, but it would be, it's the same concept. But Edison got there first. Marconi, who came up with the telegraph and the telephone, he had his idea. In Europe, they were doing the same type of thing, but they hadn't developed yet. United States probably has the greatest production of ideas and genius of the entire world. But we have a little, a little stopper that keeps these ideas from coming out. That's called the FDA, Federal Food and Drug Administration. And why are they a stopper? They want it to be properly tested, before they let it on the market, because they don't want to kill everybody. They want to make sure that the drugs, for instance, are ones that are not going to have side effects that are not expected. They want them to be tested properly, which is well and good. Switzerland doesn't demand that much testing. New Zealand doesn't demand testing virtually at all. If you have an idea in New Zealand, you just go down there and make it go, and you're on. In Switzerland, you have to prove yourself a little bit. You've got to have a nice package, and then it's go. In Africa, try it. Try it. Do it. Doesn't matter. If people all die because of it, then don't use it anymore, you know. The world is the guinea pig in Africa. The world is the guinea pig in many countries. In America, they want only a few people to be the guinea pig. But in the process, they delay these things from happening. And so the cure comes out for XYZ, and your mommy has XYZ, and she dies just before the cure comes out. But the cure had been known for the last 5 years, but they were testing it. Well, and your mommy didn't have it. So she's gone. But if she'd had it, she would have not had to die. Well, why didn't your mommy create herself as a guinea pig for it? Why didn't she create herself being one of the beta testers for the drug? They're always asking people to be testers for drugs. And they do this a lot with prisoners in prison on life row. They allow them to be testers for drugs. And then the money that they would earn for being a tester, they give to their family, not to the guys on life row, because they're going to die, presumably. You see, when you have an idea whose time has come, when your smile is infectious, and that can be all the time, but when you have a book, an article, when you have a play, when you have a musical composition, when you have a painting, when you have a statement whose time has come, then you will know it, and you will do it, and you will be it. And it's fun. Yep, smiling is infectious. When someone smiled at me today, I started smiling too. I walked around the corner and saw someone grin. When he smiled, I realized I'd passed it on to him. I thought about my smile, and I know what it is worth. My single smile travels around the entire earth. Each time I feel a smile begin, I make it most effective. I start a smile epidemic and get the world infected. Smiling is infectious, and it's wonderful. I love you.